Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 3rd chapter, 52nd verse, Krite yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhaihi dvapare paricharyayam kalo tadhari kirtanat. Whatever results one obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapar Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, one can also obtain in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In Satya Yuga, every person was spiritually advanced, and there was no envy between great personalities. Gradually, however, because of material contamination with the advance of the ages, disrespectful dealings appeared even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Actually, an advanced Vaishnava is to be respected more than Vishnu. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Of all kinds of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. And recommended more than worship of Vishnu is the worship of the Vaishnava. Formerly, all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu. But after Satya Yuga, there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings among Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is the one who has helped others become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narad Muni. A powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped. But because of material contamination, sometimes such an exalted Vaishnava is disrespected by other minor Vaishnavas. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dwapar Yuga. Dvapare Paricharyayam. But in Kali Yuga, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a practical example in that he did not establish any temples or deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtana movement. Therefore, Krishna consciousness preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. This helps the Sankirtan movement. Whenever there is a possibility to worship the deity, we may establish many centers. But generally, we should give more stress to the distribution of transcendental literature. For this will be more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 47, Archayam eva haraye, pujam yaha shraddhaye hate, natat bhakteshu anyeshu, sa bhaktaha prakritaha smritaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called a prakrita bhakta, or Kanishtha Adhikari. A Prakrita devotee or neophyte devotee is still on the material platform. He certainly engages in worshipping the deity, but he cannot appreciate the activities of a pure devotee. It has actually been seen that even an authorized devotee who is engaged in the service of the Lord by preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness is sometimes criticized by neophyte devotees. Such neophytes are described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sarva prani sammanana samarthanam avajna spardhatam tu bhagavat pratimaiva patram ityaha. For those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila chapter 7 text 11, it is clearly said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartana. Without being authorized by Krishna, one cannot preach the holy name of the Lord throughout the entire world. Nevertheless, a devotee who does so is criticized by neophyte devotees. Kanishtha Adhikaris, who are on the lower stages of devotional service. For them, deity worship is strongly recommended. Kindly repeat the translation. My dear King, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रादरः न परः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। Quite an astonishing statement here. The great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga. And thus they introduced deity worship in the temple. If that was the condition in the beginning of Treta Yuga, we can well imagine and we see for ourselves what the condition is in Kali Yuga. Mutually disrespectful dealings, Prabhupada elaborates on this topic in his purport, and essentially mentions how even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas there was mutual criticism. Sounds familiar? And many times, Prabhupada says that minor Vaishnavas, they criticize advanced Vaishnavas. And a Vaishnava is advanced when he converts many others to the path of Vaishnavism. I think that Srila Prabhupada is referring here to the criticism he had to undergo because he was adopting rather untraditional methods in his preaching movement. He gave those who were not born in Brahmana families sannyas. He gave Brahman initiation to those who were born in families that were not in the Varnashrama system. And he made many, many adjustments like that. So he was subject to much criticism. One time when one of his disciples, Brahmananda Prabhu, was in Vrindavan, he went to one temple in Vrindavan and the pujari asked him, "What is your name?" So he said, "Brahmananda." So he said, "What kind of name is that? It's not a Vaishnava name. Brahmananda is a name where you take ananda or happiness in the impersonal Brahman." So this devotee went back rather morose and spoke to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very upset about it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate was Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Bharati. There were so many names like this. For us, Brahma, of course, is the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. So many times we see that those who are in the forefront of the preaching mission of Krishna consciousness gets subject to various kinds of criticism, and it's simply a symptom of this age. It began way back in the beginning of Treta Yuga. As we all know, there are four ages: the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. And the method for calculation is, of the time spans that is, we know that one day of the demigod on earth, or rather of the demigods, is equal to 6 months on earth. So one day plus one night of the demigods is equal to one full year on earth. And that is, 1 year of the demigods is 360 years on earth. And Kali Yuga is 1,000 such demigod years. So those of you who are good at arithmetic, how much is 360 times 1,000? 360,000. So 360,000 is the span of Kali Yuga. But this is just the main yuga. Then one has to add 10% of that before and after. That's called the sandhyas, the conjunction periods. So 10% of 360,000 is 36,000 before and 36,000 after. So that's 360,000 years plus 72,000 years, which is 432,000 years, which is what we say is the span of Kali Yuga. And right now, incidentally, we are only in the first 5,000 years. We're still in the sandhya, still in the conjunction period. So we can well imagine what's going to happen later. So this is Kali Yuga. The main yuga is 1,000 times, 1,000 celestial years. The yuga before that, Dwapar Yuga, has a time span 2,000 years of the demigods. So therefore there is 720,000 years, and then you add 10% before, 10% after, and you get the time span of Dwapar Yuga. Treta Yuga is 3,000 demigod years. Again, add 10% before, 10% after, and you get the full span. And likewise with Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga is 4,000 years, plus 10%, plus 10% at the beginning and the end. And then the four together are called one Chatur Yuga or one Divya Yuga. And this, of course, keeps on repeating. So the Satya Yuga is called the Golden Age. The Treta Yuga is called which age? Silver Age. Dwapar Yuga is called Copper Age. And the Kali Yuga is called Iron Age. So everything is iron. Iron and steel. Steel is, of course, just iron, modified iron. So in Satya Yuga, everyone was pure. Prabhupada explains, everyone was 100% pure. In other words, 100% of the population was pure. Then in Treta Yuga, 75% of the population is pure. 100% pure. Then in the next age, Dwapar Yuga, 50% of the population is pure. And then Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, 25% of the population is pure. But then he qualified that remark by saying, that's only on paper. Actually speaking, not more than 5%, not even 5% of the people are pure. So Prabhupada was explaining how there were different yuga dharmas, or different processes for self-realization in each of these ages. He was talking about the verse that is quoted here in the purport, Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnum, etc. And he was saying that in Krita Yuga, which is another name for Satya Yuga, the method for God realization was to meditate upon Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. So there was one guest that he asked the question that if everybody is 100% pure, then why do you need to do yoga to attain perfection? You're already pure. So Srila Prabhupada explained, this means purity from a material point of view. In other words, they were all in the mode of goodness. Because on the material platform, goodness is perfection. So in Satya Yuga, there was a predominance of Sattva Guna, or mode of goodness. Everyone was in the mode of goodness. Then gradually, as the four yugas move, the mode of goodness diminishes, and the lower modes start increasing in prominence. So therefore we had Satya Yuga 100% goodness, but in Treta Yuga slightly vice, or the mode of passion, was introduced. A very slight introduction. And that's why we get what we see here in this verse, mutually disrespectful dealings. So why do mutually disrespectful dealings come about? Because there is introduction of the mode of passion. Remember, mode of ignorance has not even started yet. And still we have mutually disrespectful dealings. And then gradually the mode of passion gets stronger. And the mode of ignorance starts setting in quite a lot by the time Dwapara Yuga comes in. And by the time Kali Yuga begins, ignorance is now predominant. And it is in full flow as Kali Yuga moves on. The mode of passion is also there, but there's hardly any mode of goodness in the age of Kali Yuga. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's statement that a very, very small proportion of people in Kali Yuga are perfect. So then Prabhupada explained that in Satya Yuga, everyone was materially perfect. They were in a mode of goodness, but still they had to perform yoga for attaining self-realization, which is spiritual perfection. So whether it is Satya Yuga, Treta, Dwapara or Kali, we all have to strive for self-realization. Of course, it's much easier in a sense in Satya Yuga because everybody is naturally inclined towards good activities. Spirituality comes naturally to people, whereas sinful activity comes naturally to people in Kali Yuga. That's the difference. However, the Lord is very merciful. Kalo tad hari kirtanad. Whatever could be obtained in the peak of Kali Yuga, or the beginning of Satya Yuga, by meditation, can now be obtained simply by chanting the names of Lord Hari. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 9 Yogendras describe to King Nimi, Kalim sabhajayantyarya gunagyaha sarabhaginaha yatra sankirtanenaiva sarvasvartho bhilabhyate. They say, my dear king, this Kali Yuga, which is generally condemned by everyone as being the Iron Age, the Dark Age, the Age of Hypocrisy and Vice and so on, is actually glorified, sabhajayantya, by whom? By the Aryas, those who are cultured and civilized. Gunagyaha, those who know the good values of life. Sarabhaginaha, those who can extract the essence of this world. They can distinguish good and bad and extract the essential goodness in everything. Such very evolved people have glorified Kali Yuga. Because yatra sankirtane naiva sarvasvartho bhilabhyate. Because all desirable objects can be obtained in this age simply by the process of sankirtana, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So even though we deride this age, every time there is a problem, we hear something horrible, we say, well, it's Kali Yuga. Just yesterday, our Narasimha Tirtha Prabhu was enlightening me about some very especially horrific activity that happened somewhere where some man got intoxicated with some drugs and then he ate out the face of a man who was sleeping. Can't even imagine such a thing. Send shivers down your spine to even begin to contemplate such a thing. Such gross ignorance, the mode of ignorance becomes so strong in Kali Yuga that people indulge in such activities. And this is just the beginning, as I said. So there's ample scope for deriding Kali Yuga. But Krishna, being very merciful, has made this age very easy for self-realization. In the age of Satya, people live for 100,000 years. in Treta for 10,000 years, in Dwapar for 1,000 years, and in Kali Yuga for 100 years. But that's in the beginning. Nowadays, someone has to be truly unfortunate to live up to 100. The fortunate ones live earlier. Because the longer you live in Kali Yuga, the more you have to suffer. So in Kali Yuga, we have very, very small lifespans. Prayana alpayushah sabhya kalo vasmin yuge janah. So very, very small lifespans. So people are spiritually lazy, they are misguided, they are forever prone to performing sinful activities, they are always disturbed. This is the condition of people in Kali Yuga, but yatra sankirtane naiva sarvasartho bhilabhyate. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, we don't have to live a long life. We don't have to go into the forest to perform various kinds of austerities. It's not possible. But just by chanting the name, we can attain that perfection which was possible in Satya Yuga. People would have to perform austerities for 60,000, 70,000 years. Can you imagine? Before you can attain spiritual realization. And here, just one lifetime, if we give for Krishna, then all perfection is possible. So in any case, this verse explains that because mutually disrespectful dealings began at the beginning of Treta Yuga, the saintly persons understood that now the time had come to introduce the worship of the deity. Now, we can note here that even though the worship of the deity was introduced at the beginning of Treta Yuga, it was introduced as the standard practice. It was only in Dwapar Yuga that it became the Yuga Dharma. And also, deity worship existed even before Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga. In all ages, the deity worship has existed. But it is given prominence especially at other times like the Dwapar Yuga. Similarly with the chanting of the holy name, sometimes devotees may ask that if the chanting of the holy names is the way in Kali Yuga, does it mean there was no chanting in the earlier ages? There was. Chanting of the holy name has always existed. But particularly in Kali Yuga, it is given focus. Because there is no other way possible for the people living in this age. There are many instances of how the deity was worshipped even in Treta Yuga. We hear about one Brahmana who was a great devotee of Lord Ram in Ayodhya when Lord Ram was living there. And he made a vow. Prabhupada explains the story in one lecture that he would never eat his food in the morning until he had had darshan of Lord Ram. So every day he would go to the palace of Lord Ram, where Ram was giving darshan, and after that he would come back home and then take his prasadam. Sometimes, however, Lord Ram had to leave Ayodhya and go out to fulfill some royal duties. And he would be away for a few days. Sometimes he would be away for a week. And the Brahmana would fast for a week. And only when Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya, he would break his fast and eat. So when Lord Ram heard about this, he felt great compassion in his heart. And he called the Brahmana and said, "Here, I am giving you my own deity." Lakshman had been worshipping the deity. And before that, the ancestors of Lord Ram had been worshipping Ram's deity. Because Lord Ram appears periodically. So it's not that it's only in this Treta Yuga that Ram appeared and there was no Ram before. So Ram's deity was also worshipped from time immemorial by the kings in his own dynasty, his own ancestors. It had come into the hands of Lakshman, and then Lord Ram said, "Lakshman, please give my deity to this Brahmana because he has to undergo so much inconvenience when I am not here." So then this Brahmana began worshipping the deity very happily. And because the deity is not different from the Lord, so even when the Lord was outside of Ayodhya, this Brahmana was taking darshan of his deity and he could eat prasadam on time. Srila Prabhupada explains, by the way, that Sita Ram deity, the Ram deity, is existing today. Does anyone know where it is existing? It's in the Udupi temple, the temple of Balakrishna in Udupi. The acharyas of the Madhva Sampradaya worship the same Ram deity. So Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport elaborately how the congregational chanting of the holy name is more important than worship of the deity. Nevertheless, deity worship is also essential. Prabhupada has spoken very, very elaborately about this point. The worship of the deity is necessary, even though it is not the Yuga Dharma in this age, because people in Kali Yuga are very impure. So they need to be purified. The process of deity worship is very purifying, very calming to the mind, and it helps us to chant the holy names better. The process of deity worship also includes the chanting of the holy names. This is called the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the rules and regulations that pertain to the worship of the deity. Additionally, the worship of the deity practically engages our senses. It gives us an opportunity also to establish a kind of a personal rapport or a relationship with the deity. It becomes a very personal affair between the worshipper and the Lord who is present in the form of the deity. The Bhagavat Marg, the path of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, is a path that is superior to the Pancharatrika Vidhi because it can directly give rise to Krishna Prema. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport here that the Bhagavat Marga, the path of hearing and chanting, includes preaching and especially the distribution of transcendental literature. So both have to go side by side. At one point, Srila Prabhupada explained that the Bhagavat Vidhi, the Marga, and the Pancharatrika Marga, they are like two tracks on which a train travels. And by adopting both of these together, we can attain very quick success in our Krishna consciousness. And how the worship of the deity and the congregational chanting of the holy name go hand in hand can best be exemplified by this wonderful pastime. Many of you have perhaps heard about the Gaur-Nitai deities of Gauridas Pandit in Ambika Kalna. Gauridas Pandit was a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was Subal Sakha, one of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan Leela. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he came to Ambika Kalna where Gauridas Pandit was residing. He came by boat and he personally rode the boat. And the paddle that Mahaprabhu used is still preserved in a temple in the house of Gauridas Pandit. Also, a personal copy, a book of the Bhagavad Gita, which was personally handwritten by Mahaprabhu, is also preserved there. So I had the good fortune of visiting that about 2 years ago. And there is an interesting history of the temple. Just like the Banke Bihari temple in Vrindavan, in the Gaur-Nitai temple that is there in Gauridas Pandit's house in Ambika Kalna, when the darshan opens, the pujari will close the curtain every now and then. After 2 or 3 minutes, he closes the curtain, again opens it, again closes it. And the history is as follows, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rode the boat across the Ganga, and came to Gauridas Pandit, Gauridas Pandit was overjoyed. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu stayed there for some time, and then it was time to go. But Gauridas Pandit was heartbroken. He requested the Lord to stay on, especially because Gauridas Pandit knew that the Lord would shortly take sannyas and go away from Navadvip. The Lord tried to make him understand, but Gauridas Pandit was too heartbroken to understand. So then the Lord said, okay, I am present in this neem tree right here. Gauridas Pandit took that to mean that from the wood of this tree, deities of Gaur-Nithai should be carved. So Gauridas Pandit had that done. Some people say that Mahaprabhu himself carved the deities, but regardless, the deities were carved, and with great happiness, Gauridas Pandit began to worship these deities. Now, as Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were about to leave, Gauridas Pandit stopped them, said, please don't go. So Mahaprabhu said, but I've already given you my deity form, and there's no difference between my deity and me. And since the devotees are more intelligent than the Lord, Gauridas Pandit replied, if there's no difference between you and the deities, let the deities go and you stay. So Mahaprabhu said, all right. So the deities walked off the altar and started walking, and Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu came on the altar and they stood there like this. So Gauridas Pandit was confused. He said, hey, what's happening here now? So then he halted Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, who walked off the altar. He said, no, you wait, you let them go. So the two who were originally deities walked back on the altar, and the two who were Mahaprabhu, they started walking away. He said, no, you wait, you stay here. And this happened several times, till finally somehow or the other, Gauridas Pandit accepted the deities, and they remained there. And he would worship these deities with great love. He would talk to them, he would sing to them, he would discuss verses from the Bhagavatam with them, he would read out to them, and he would decorate them also. And sometimes he never knew how these new clothes and ornaments would come. Sometimes he would be astonished and say, where did you get these ornaments from? He would ask the deity. The Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu would help themselves. And this was the personal interaction between Gauridas Pandit and the deities of Gaur-Nithai. So, we should see it in this perspective, that while the process of worshipping for the deities is indeed meant for Kanishtha Adhikaris, but it's not that when one advances in deity worship, one stops, or in Krishna consciousness, that one stops worshipping the deity. Actually, the worship of the deity becomes even more of a deep and very personal experience for the devotee, like we see in Gauridas Pandit's case. One time, there was a Sankirtan festival going on. Many devotees had gathered, and tumultuous Kirtan was going on. And Gaur-Nithai, who were on the altar, couldn't just bear to stand on the altar like that. So they jumped off the altar and entered into the Sankirtana party, and they began dancing. And when Gauridas Pandit saw this, he said, where are the deities? Then he realized they had gone into the crowd of devotees. So he ran after Gaur-Nithai with a stick. Where are you? Come back. And when they saw Gauridas Pandit, their pure devotee, chasing them, they became so frightened that they jumped into the heart of one devotee. That devotee was called Chaitanya Das. He was a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. And in order to escape punishment at the hands of Gauridas Pandit, Gaur-Nithai, who were formerly in the deity form and who had now joined the Sankirtan, they entered into the heart of Chaitanya Das. Gauridas Pandit was stunned. He was struck with wonder to see this phenomenon. And he renamed his disciple as Hriday Chaitanya Das, he into whose heart Chaitanya and Nityananda had entered. So because the deities have this tendency of being attracted by the Sankirtan and they jump off the altar sometimes, so the pujaris there are very fearful. So the tradition has been set from that time, that the moment devotees come especially, like we went in a group, we were all about, I think, 10 or 12 different, you know, devotees who went. And when the moment the pujari saw us, he became happy, but he was also a little nervous. So he began to close it even more often. So they like to see devotees, but at the same time, they know that, oh, our deities, they like Sankirtan a lot. So when their names are chanted, they become so excited that they want to jump into the congregation of devotees and chant. So thus we can see that the worship of the deity and the congregational chanting of the holy names are very intimately connected. It's all part of one process of devotional service for us. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. It's 8:30. Are there any questions?